lots and lots of things that we're going to cover tonight. We definitely don't want to waste any time. I know more people are going to be trickling in, but so that we don't run out of time tonight, want to get started. How many of you guys are genuinely excited to be here and you've been looking forward to this for a long time? You guys looking forward to it? How would you describe your break, your time off? Long? What did you say?
Busy?
Absolutely. What else? Kind of awesome to be home? I agree. I think I was at church 5 Sundays in the summer. But I was on sabbatical, so no one else has an excuse. Pastor would not let me come to church. He's like, you can't put you on sabbatical and you show up every Sunday. That will be counterproductive. So I took full advantage of that, and I enjoyed a house all to myself every Sunday of my sabbatical without my children even. Victoria begged me to stay home, and I begged her to go to church. So it was wonderful. But we're just really excited that you guys are here tonight. We had around 45 people who were eligible to even be in this room tonight. And it's great to see the turnout of all of you guys who are here. We know some couldn't be here tonight that are coming next week. But this is Grow Track 2. You guys made it past the first Grow Track. What were some highlights you guys would say? If you can take a moment and rewind, what were some highlight moments for you guys in Grow Track 1? Highlight moments. What did you keep with you, even over the break? Phyllis.
Holy Spirit, the way it should be used in church.
Okay. Now, you guys are going to love the teaching on the Holy Spirit in here. We're going to go way deeper into that. It's going to be so good. So that really made an impact in your life, and you carry that with you. That's a huge compliment to Grow One. I need to share that with our pastor. That's extraordinary to hear. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. What else? What else stood out to you guys about Grow Track 1? What did you like so much about it? What did it do in your life?
Give me consistency.
Okay. So you began to make some good, healthy spiritual habits, right? Okay. Anyone else? What would you say, Mark? Yeah, and Mark was one of those ones, which I didn't have the opportunity of talking to all of you guys all the time, but every time I would bump into Mark Keyser, he was just ranting and raving about Grow One. And basically, I think your statement was, everyone should go through Grow One. Like, your life will be changed in Grow One. It does. I wish you could say that to our entire church, what you just said. Because it's true. So here's the exciting part to me. The most exciting part to me is that although Grow Track One was really transformative, and although Grow Track 1 has a ton of really great content, it is still that foundational level of a lot of the basics of Christianity. Now, we teach it very thoroughly. So even those of you who have been in church forever probably heard some things for the very first time. Maybe now you know where to find it in the Bible. But Grow Track 2 is different. I want to make sure you guys understand. It is intentionally more complex, and I don't want to use the word difficult, but this Grow Track 2 is less about me standing on my head and getting you to like woo and agree and get excited about what I'm teaching you, right? It's really more about teaching you guys how to dig into the Word of God, interpret the Word of God correctly, and learn how to apply it to your life in such a way that you begin to be transformed as you use the soap we're going to talk about, and you begin to see that, man, this thing is alive, it is active, it's truly sharper than any double-edged sword. It has power to transform my life. So Grow Track 1 lays the foundation. In fact, I end in there tonight. I go from here to Grow 3 to Grow 1, okay? And so what I'm going to challenge them with is that they let God pour the concrete completely for the foundation of their faith. Because by the time you get to Grow Track 2, we are assuming you've already mastered the concepts of Grow Track 1. I'm not here to pour more foundation. We're here tonight to start building the framework on top of your foundation. How many of you are ready for that? Like, you're ready to go to the next level. You're ready to be challenged in your faith, challenged in your knowledge of the Word. Because if not, you're in the wrong place. Because we're going to take you there. We're going to take you there. What's so important is that the foundation of a house is solid. Philip, what kind of work? What's your background?
Electrical.
Electrical. So you work on a lot of new homes, old homes, and things like that. Have you ever seen a house that had a cracked roof or cracked walls in it? What's the cause of that?
The foundation.
So there is this beautiful house in our street. beautiful. When they made it brand spanking new, it was gorgeous. But something happened in construction with the foundation. This $350,000 home had a faulty foundation and had sat on the market off and on for probably 5 years. No one wanted to buy it, no matter how beautiful it was. Why? Because the foundation was messed up. There was a fault with the foundation. And so in the same way, I see a lot of Christians whose roofs are collapsing, right? And a lot of it's because their spiritual foundation was poured incorrectly. So that's why Grow One is so important. We want to make sure by the time you get here, when we begin to put the timber up, right, the 2x4s, and we begin to construct the drywall, that your foundation can stand the test of time. And so if you don't remember what you learned, can I give you some homework for this week? Pull your Grow Track 1 manual out and begin to refresh your memory with the key concepts of the faith that we taught on. Go back to the practices. Go back to the former things that you were doing habitually for your spiritual walk in Grow Track 1. Because we're expecting you to already be doing that in Grow Track 2. Because we're building framework now. Does that make sense? You guys ready for that? So we're going to build on that framework, which is really important. And we're going to do it in some key ways. We are going to do things differently in Grow Track 1 that we did not do in Grow Track 2. Because you're ready for it now. One of the significant changes that you're going to notice in Grow Track 2 is the teaching approach. The teaching approach is going to be way different. Instead of the lecture style alone, we're moving into a facilitator approach. Anyone want to take a shot at what the difference is between a lecture approach and a facilitator approach? Yeah. In fact, that's why you guys might be a little uncomfortable right now, because I keep trying to get you to talk. That's going to be more and more comfortable. You'll get more and more comfortable with it. She's going, oh gosh, Brenda's like, I'm in trouble, right? But we're not asking you to preach the gospel or teach the class now, but a facilitator approach is what you need now. You know, when Carter got to be 2 years old, he didn't need mommy with the Gerber padded rubber spoon with the cream bananas trying to get him to eat it. Carter moved into that season where all he wanted was diced up little nuggets, chicken nuggets, right, with lots of ketchup, and some little tater tots cut up. That's what he wanted. But I had to intentionally get rid of the easy stuff. I stopped eventually putting it on his plate because I needed him to learn to eat something more substantial to sustain his new season of greater growth. And some of you guys are strong Christians. That's wonderful. But even as you're in here in Grow Track 2, God's going to help reteach you some things, some habits that maybe you've stopped doing that you need to reapply to your spiritual walk. But the important thing is this is not about spiritual milk in here. This is about steak. This is about cutting up the meat, teaching you how to eat it so that you can digest it in such a way that you grow. You know? So we're super excited about that approach. Here's another interesting thing about Grow 2, is that the level of learning has just gone higher. So let me explain what I mean on that. And Jeremiah, I'm almost finished here. Let me explain what I mean. Are you guys familiar with levels of learning? I'm about to give you something for free that cost me thousands of dollars. You ready? In Bible college. All right, here we go. The first level of learning is knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge. Information, right? Knowledge. The next level is comprehension. Oh, gosh. Look, guess what I just did. Oh, no. Worse. Where's Courtney? Stinking markers. That's what Pastor Jeremy does. I just used an easel pad marker on the dry erase. I know. Do you know the trick? Anyone know the trick? Or you take the easel marker and you write on top of it and it erases the marker. Did you know that? I know. See? Cool stuff happening in Grow 2. All right. So knowledge, right? Comprehension. This is my little boy coming home with the scripture memorized. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Not comprehension now, he understands what it means that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to die for his sins. He understands it now. Okay? But in here, in Grow Track 2, we move up to the next level of learning. And that is application. We are going to be real big on this one right here. We're so thankful that you can quote scripture. and remember pastor's sermon points, at least some of them, okay? We're so thankful that you understand what you've been taught. Wonderful stuff that's happening in Grow One today. But we're not satisfied with that, and neither is the Lord. We want this group to get to the place where you not only know how to apply it because we tell you how, but you learn to dig and interpret the Word of God in such a way, a correct way, that you understand application automatically. I'm telling you guys what. The Grow Track 2, it's now on Grow Track 3 right now, it was a feeding frenzy in there. I have never seen a group of students more hungry and excited to come to class than that group in there. And it's because of what you're about to experience. See, something begins to come alive and change in you when you begin to apply the concepts you're going to learn and grow to. I'm just warning you, it is a feeding frenzy. It's so exciting. But there's one more level of learning we want to get to in here, and it's called analysis. Does anyone want to take a shot at what analysis is? Not all at once. Okay, analysis means to effectively analyze a situation in order to solve a problem. So we're going to learn how to apply God's word to our lives in a way that something changes, but we're also going to learn how to analyze it in such a way that we can understand it well enough to help solve someone else's problem. Yeah, we're going to go deeper and grow too. Accountability is greater. Accountability is way greater in here. In fact, we are going to memorize scripture. In fact, we have some devotional packets we're going to make available to you guys that's going to help you in that. You're not graded on it, but I will say you do get rewarded when you quote it. We had one student that ran the table every single night of Grow Track 2. It was so bad that like people were getting embarrassed that she was the only one winning every time, but it created competition in the class, and everyone started trying to remember the scripture, and eventually some other people began to win. She was phenomenal, though. But greater accountability in here. Another one is more opportunities for interaction and feedback. Way more opportunities. And then also, there's going to be in-class work. You guys are at tables for a reason. We're going to be using the tables to do assignments together, not just busy work, intentional projects that create spiritual growth in your life, okay? And also, when you combine all these together, you are going to have greater growth than you had last semester. But here's what your growth is determined by. There's one word for it. Your growth will depend on one thing, your hunger. Over the years of ministry, I have seen some people, and it's amazing when this happens, that they come to the church, they get saved, and they get plugged in right away, and they begin to grow so stinking fast. So fast. And then there are this, in the same class, or in the same environment, are other people who have been here, or even other new people, who are going through the same, going through the same content, the same process, and there's very little growth. And what I have found is the key ingredient to really healthy, expeditious growth in the Lord is the size of your hunger. If you're not hungry to grow, you probably won't. If you're not hungry for more of the Lord in your life, you probably won't have more. But can I challenge you to allow the Lord to stretch your spiritual stomachs tonight and create and stimulate in you that kind of growth? Some food for thought here tonight as we get ready to give you your first assignment is I want you to think through this scripture with me. And if you have your notes, go ahead and look in it. And if not, write this down. It's Matthew 5, 6. And it says, blessed are those who, what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now you need to understand who's speaking in this scripture. Who? Oh, you guys are way too quiet. We're going to have to get coffee in here. Get very caffeinated before they come into Grow Too. Who's speaking in this scripture? Jesus Christ is. What is he saying in them? What is he saying to them in this scripture? They're blessed if what? If they're hungry. What is he? There's a promise here. I want you to understand. There's a premise and a promise. The premise is if you hunger and thirst for him, for righteousness, he guarantees a result. What is the result? Did you hear that tonight? Some of you, you've been serving the Lord such a long time that you don't hunger anymore for him. You know what my prayer is for you? Is that God would use Grow 2 to create and stir in you a deeper hunger than you've ever had before for the Lord. Because Jesus didn't say this because, like, he didn't have anything else good to say. He's saying you are blessed by God when you hunger and thirst for him. And something about that must capture his eye. Because he says when he sees that, he's going to come to you and fill you up. He didn't say he's going to fill up the person next to you that's not hungry and not thirsty for him. Did you hear me? Who does he fill? Those who hunger and thirst. So are you hungry tonight? And here's your assignment as we get into it. There are several examples we could get into of people who are hungry in the scripture. You can read those for yourself in your assignment. But here's what we want you guys to do as we get started tonight. We want you to take a moment to contemplate the following question and fill in the blank below. What hunger do you want God to stir in you during this Grow Track 2 semester? And there's the blank. It says, God, comma, I want to hunger for blank. One of the most intriguing scriptures to me, there are many that are intriguing, but this one really intrigues me, in the fact that Jesus says, you have not because you ask not. Like, that's really perplexing to me. Like, seriously, I just need to ask according to his will, right? And then I have what I ask for if I'm praying in accordance with his will. And I want to challenge you guys in Grow Track 2 tonight, before you just put a word in that blank, is to really think through, what do you lack? See, when I was pregnant and I was hungry, you begin to crave certain things that your body's needing, Megan. You begin to crave not just weird things. Have you ever heard of those pregnant women that will go out and eat dirt? Like what Devontae's going, oh, Lord, what is she talking about? Have you ever heard those stories? What are they really lacking in their body? A certain mineral. Callie's going, I am never having kids. They're lacking something specific. And the body begins to have a craving over something that your body's needing. So before you throw just anything in that blank, can I challenge you? What are you craving right now from the Lord? What craving is there? What feels empty that once felt full? What are you lacking in your spiritual health right now? That if God supplied it and filled you in that area, there would be a massive ripple effect in every other area of your life. What are you hungry for? We're going to give you guys just a few minutes on that. Max, if you could turn up some music and we'll transition at that time. But give prayerful consideration to your answer.
All right. Well, if everybody did not finish filling in that blank, if you're still thinking about it, still wanting to give that some more deep thought, don't worry about that. You're going to have plenty of time to think about that blank. It's an important blank. It's an important thing to think about over the course of these next 12 weeks. As Pastor Talia said, she did a very eloquent lead-in to Grow Track 2 and kind of hit the highlights of what this really means and the next level that we're on in Grow Track 2. And so with that, I kind of want to start with a question. And I know everybody's like, gosh, not another question. She's already asked me 1,000 questions. I hope he doesn't look at me. And if he does, I'm going to put my head down. And everybody knows in class that if you put your head down, what happens? Oh, good. We see everybody's smart. So now everybody's going to be looking straight up at me. Like, if I look at him in the eye, he's not going to call on me. I'll call on everybody. I will. Because they called on me all the time. I think it's because I got red hair and they could just see me. Like, I stood out. Like, they would scan the room. Like, they would just pick him. He's already red. And, you know, like, he's embarrassed. He probably won't know the answer. He's trying to look away. Well, my name is Jeremiah Campbell, for those that y'all that don't know me. I'm excited. I'm humbled, and I'm just really, I'm privileged to be here and to be able to be a part of Grow Track 2 again, and to be able to be up here and teach this. As Pastor Talia said, we had an awesome semester of Grow Track 2. Just some great, great things came out of Grow Track 2, and I think y'all probably already heard a little bit of what was going on next door. I'm already hearing them yelling and laughing, and that's the carryover from each group. And y'all have been riding this wave already together, so that's such a cool thing as well. So you're coming out of Grow 1. You spent 12 weeks together bonding in what has got to be one of the greatest things that you can bond over. It's God's Word. and being like-minded. So now you're in Grow Track 2, and I know it's going to get a little uncomfortable. We're going to touch some topics that are going to be a little bit harder. I'm going to call on you, all those things. But it's such a cool, cool experience. And if you'll just embrace that and know that we're all learning. There's no person that has ever picked up a Bible that can say that they have this thing mastered. We are all learning. I learn every single day. I was reading today before I got here on some of this material, and God showed me something that I'd never really seen before, and it just was illuminated right before me, and I'm about to get up here and teach this stuff. So it's so neat that we can see new things every single time we pick up the Bible. And so anything that you might be feeling, any hesitation about this class, don't. Because you're always going to be shown something new by God. There's always something new that he wants to show you. We will never have it all mastered. Never. So I want to start with a question. What better way, as Pastor Talia said, to start laying that timber and start building that frame than with the topic of prayer? I can't think of one better thing to start with to start building on that foundation than prayer. So my question to you is, what is prayer in its purest form? What would somebody say that prayer, just in its purest form, what is it? That's it. It's talking to God. Second question, why? Why does God want us to pray? Love it. That's the word I was looking for. That is just such a key word. I think that that is so foundational. There is nothing more important to God in this world than that one word right there. We were created in his image to have relationship with him. And his vehicle or his medium for that relationship is what? Prayer. So I think a lot of times when we come into a topic and we start thinking about praying, or even we try to start stepping out and actually having a prayer life, it falls flat. It's kind of difficult because we're sitting in a room sometimes and we're quiet and we're trying to talk, but we don't really hear things back. And so it just feels kind of awkward, or we run out of things to say after like 30 seconds. And then we start thinking about dinner, or we think about all kinds of things. Myself, I will be praying and then I will be on such a rabbit trail on things that it just doesn't even matter. And I have to like bring myself back. And I'm like, oh, wait, I was praying, you know, like, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do 2 years from now, and I really started trying to talk to God. But I think that we overcomplicate prayer sometimes. It's just a means for a relationship. If I never talked to my wife, if we just never said anything to one another, would we have a very healthy and strong relationship? We wouldn't. We wouldn't have a relationship at all because we're not communicating. We're not sharing our concerns and our needs and our desires. We're not conveying the things that we need from one another. If we never speak to one another, then we never have a real relationship, and there's nothing that we can build upon. So what is prayer? The purpose of prayer is to talk to and connect with God. We've already said that. The second purpose is to hear what he has to say, as Mark said. We want to talk to God, and I think a lot of times what we do is we'll get to that point where we're ready to start praying, and we'll sit down, we'll get quiet, and we'll start telling God a lot of things, and then we get up and walk away. We miss a pretty key component of conversation, listening, which is probably the most important component of conversation, in my opinion. Because if it's always one-sided and we're always just telling somebody something, but we're never stopping to listen to what they want or their desires or their input in any given situation, are we really doing ourselves any good? Or are we really doing that other person any good? Or are we even saying to them that we care and are concerned about what they have to say to us? And so I would say, and I would argue that the sitting and the listening and waiting on God to speak is almost as important as talking to him and telling him our concerns, our desires. The next thing is to receive what you need from him. God wants to give us things. He does. So Mark 11:24 says, "For this reason I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given to you." James 4:2-10 says, You do not have because you do not ask it of God. You ask God for something and do not receive it because you ask with wrong motives, out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda. That's pretty key right there. So that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your own, and this says hedonistic desires. That got real, real big right there. Your hedonistic desires. Come close to God with a contrite heart, and he will come close to you. Humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you your purpose. James 5:16b says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. That's really cool. So a quote from Dutch Sheet says, I become convinced that in some situations, they, our prayers, actually release cumulative amounts of God's power until enough has been released to accomplish his will. What does that mean to y'all? Can somebody tell me what that means? I'm already calling on people. I even had a couple people look away. I can't believe it. And we just had a conversation on that. Anybody? I will call. Correct. No, I think that that's right. I think that a lot of times we expect God to be kind of a cosmic genie. We want a fast food God. Am I right? Anybody want a fast food God sometimes? I know I did. Like, I want to pull up to the line. I want to order some blessings with a side of wealth. You know, can I get that? And can you supersize the wealth? So we look at God as like this cosmic genie. What is your wish? And that's not exactly who God is, you know? Well, and that brings up a good point, and I'm going to try to bring it around to that very point at the end of this about prayer and not always getting either the answer we want at that time or even seeing maybe that answer, you know, and that's a difficult thing. Prayer is a hard subject, and that's what Grow Track 2 is about. It's taking those subjects that we've kind of already started scratching the surface on and really expanding on those and really getting deeper into them and kind of talking about some of the hard parts of these subjects. And prayer is one of them. Prayer is a beautiful thing, but I know everybody in here has questions about prayer. There are things that we want to know and we want to ask God, but we can pray to God about prayer. You know, it's such a cool thing. Pastor Talia talked about group work. So this is a part of this Grow Track where we're going to dig in. You're at your tables. The tables that you're at right now, and I don't know if Pastor Talia touched on this, this will be the table that you'll come to each week. So every week you come, make sure you sit at the same table because we're going to go and we're going to have group work every day. So your group that you're with, you'll be with for the next 12 weeks. I hope you like them. And if you don't, then maybe that's what you need to put in that box. Like maybe God can soften my heart a little bit and not make it so hard. So here's the first group work. So everybody at your tables, look up and read 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. And then I'm going to give you some instructions on that after y'all read that. And you might have the instructions in your booklet. Let me see here. Just make sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, then you have the instructions on your booklet. Beautiful. Oh, you already have all the answers? I'm going to call on you first, man. All right. If you give me some music, we're going to give you about 5 to 7 minutes to talk amongst yourselves. All right. I know I hear a bunch of talking still, and I might not have given you enough time, but I also want to be mindful of y'all's time and get y'all out of here on time tonight as well. So, and I'm probably going to talk for another 45 minutes and stuff, so I want to make sure that I'm not. So, hey, what we're going to do real quick, we're going to just go, and I'm going to try to call on maybe 2 or 3 tables, or maybe even 4 because there's 4 questions, and then get some answers from each table. Miss Bonnie, I'm going to start with your table. If you could give me the answer that y'all came up with to question 1. The question is, in this passage of Scripture, asking a question Is this passage of Scripture, excuse me, asking a question, giving a suggestion, or giving instruction? What'd y'all come up with?
Instruction.
That's correct. And why is that important to know? Correct. And that goes into what Pastor Talia was talking about. The whole purpose of Grow Track 2 is the interpretation. And then if we can't interpret something correctly, the application is going to be pretty bad, right? If we interpret something way off, then we apply it based on the wrong interpretation, it's going to have negative effects on our life. So, I mean, this stuff is very important. So it's important to know that. Number two, Carrie, Miss Carrie. She looks at me. You look down. You shouldn't have looked down. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Okay.
Okay.
It's mentioned in the first, sentence, the four kinds of prayer, petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. And
correct.
You've got to be able to pray for them. You've got to be able to intercede for them. You've got to be able to give thanks.
Correct. Yeah. And here in a minute, we're going to touch on each one of those prayers and what they really are, kind of dig a little bit deeper into that. So number three, Mr. Mark, what you got? What did y'all come up with? Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. No, I mean, that's so important. I mean, I would not be standing here right now, I promise you, if I didn't have, I probably had like a whole army of people praying for me, if y'all would have known me before. And so you're very right. I mean, yes, we need to pray for those in authority. We need to pray for our pastors. We need to pray over the leaders of this church. But gosh, if we're not having a heart and a mind and an attitude for the lost, what are we doing? I mean, that's the cycle of evangelism that we're supposed to be perpetuating. And so we should be praying for the lost.
Yeah.
Miss Ashley, what did y'all come with? Did y'all get number four? Or do I just... I know, I didn't give y'all enough time. I'm sorry. Okay. What do y'all think? Just throw it out there.
Well, it says within the scripture, so that is what the truth is. Mm-hmm. It says it is good. It says it pleases God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. So the result of praying in these specific ways, it's to live peaceful and quiet lives, godliness, holiness, and it's good, and it pleases God. I don't know about you, but I want to do the things that pleases God. That's the way I want to live my life now. I want to live a life that God looks down and says, that guy's getting it right. You know, he doesn't do everything perfect, but he's hungering, as Pastor Talia said. He's thirsting after the righteous things, after me. And so that's the way I want to live my life. We're going to move on to those four types of prayer that were talked about in question number two. The first kind of prayer that we're going to talk about is supplication. Supplication is an awesome form of prayer. It's a humble and earnest entreaty or petition. So what is earnestness? Somebody, just what would you think, what would you say earnestness is? I love the word intention or intentional. That's kind of been big for me in my life lately because we can get very busy in our lives. And if we're not intentional with how we behave or the decisions we make, then we can get off course really quickly. Well, I think it's the same thing in prayer. If I'm not intentional with my prayer, and not to say that it's robotic or staged or anything like that, but if I go into prayer with God and I'm intentional about what I want from him or what I'm asking of him or just the things that I would like to see him do in my life or the lives of others, then that is going to have an impact. And God sees my motive in that. So earnestness is serious in intention, purpose, or effort. Sincerely zealous. That's a good one. An earnest worker showing depth and sincerity of feeling. Earnest words, an earnest entreaty, seriously important, demanding or receiving serious attention. That's a lot of seriousness. It's serious reading about all the seriousness. That's a lot of seriousness. So there is an urgency. There's an urgency and an earnestness to this type of prayer. Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's a heavy scripture. Does anybody want to take a stab? But what do y'all think that means? Because that can read, and like we were talking about earlier, we can interpret things many different ways, but if we interpret that the wrong way, we might have some people going off and doing some crazy things, and maybe did in the past, in the name of the Lord, right? What do y'all think that means? The violent take it by force. Yeah, I think it can definitely be that, because... Yeah, well, and to read what earnestness is and to read and to hear the words sincerely zealous. What do we think about somebody who's zealous? Somebody's passionate about a cause. Somebody is serious about seeing and enacting change either in their lives or the lives of somebody else. So I think the violent taking it by force, it doesn't mean that we're picking up our swords literally and maybe going and attacking those that are coming against Christianity or coming against God or coming against Jesus, but it's taking it to prayer to God and praying for those things that we know will make a change and an impact in those around us, our city, our country. It's being serious and intentional about our prayer time as it pertains to the things that we see going on around us that maybe are not great. And I think that everybody here can say and attest to, we've got some things going on in our world that we need to bathe in serious and earnest prayer, each of us. And so for me, it's taking these things to God with that, just that heart and that attitude that, God, I want to see a change. Yes, Courtney. And y'all's point, that brings up such a great point. It brings up the word strategy to me. If we are not strategic in how we pray against the enemy, if somebody goes into battle and they're just flippant with the way that they approach battle, what's going to happen? They're going to lose. That's right. They're going to get defeated. But if we're intentional about this warfare that we're in, and the Bible's so clear about that, if we're intentional in prayer and we're coming against that enemy and with intentionality and a fierceness, that's going to move. That's going to move God. And that's the heart of God, because he wants to see that. And I'm going to keep moving, because I promise I'm going to get y'all out of here. So the next one is Luke 22, 39 through 44. And I'm going to read this pretty quick. So Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. I read this again. This is the passage that I read earlier today, and it just hit me so differently than I think it ever has, because I think that we see this. I mean, look at the imagery here. He's kneeling down. He's praying. He knows he's about to go to the cross. He knows he's about to suffer physical pain and anguish, and he's asking God, like probably any of us would, "Spare me if you can. Please take this. Pass me." But he also throws in, "But not my will, your will be done." And what happens? He's strengthened in that moment with his earnest prayer. He doesn't say, "Take this from me, I don't want this," and then just steps away. He says, "Your will be done," and he's strengthened. But I started thinking about the blood. Has anybody ever seen or cut themselves and a drop of blood's dropped into water? Has anybody seen that? What happens? Yeah. But what's heavier? The blood or the water? That's right. And so I started thinking about it. How heavy, what was the weight of Jesus's problem at that moment that his sweat was like blood? So that imagery hit me so hard today, that we have some weight behind some of our problems that we can't go in to prayer with God and just approach it like it's nothing. Like it means nothing. It's heavy. It carries some weight. And we need to approach these prayers like that. And I'll leave that, because I could go on and on and on about that. But think about the weight of your problems when you're praying to God. Think about the weight of Jesus's problem when he's praying to God. The next one is prayer. Prayer is a devout petition to God or a request. As I was saying earlier, God is not a cosmic genie. He is not a fast food God, and you cannot pull up to the drive-thru and order just anything you want. But he is a God that wants to give his children anything that their heart desires in accordance with his will. So we swing both ways a lot of times as Christians. Some of us get to the point where we're asking for everything, and that's all we're doing is asking God. We are walking around with our hand out and saying, gimme, 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 like our children do. But then sometimes I think we swing the other way and we're like, well, if I'm a good Christian, I'm not going to be asking God for anything because that's wrong. And that's just not true. We have to petition God for things. God wants to give us things. But we also don't need to be the Christian that's walking around with only our hands out. It's a devout petition to God. So John 17, 6 through 12, Jesus, it's his prayer for his disciples. What is he praying about in there? Does anybody know what that prayer is about? It's protection. So Jesus is actually praying for his disciples. It's a devout petition for protection over his disciples because he knows he's about to leave. He's about to go and be at the right hand of the Father, but his disciples who have been with him are about to be in the midst of a big uproar. And so he's praying for that protection. It's talking to God and having a conversation where both persons talk and, in all caps, listen to what the other is saying. Like I said earlier, listening is almost as important, if not more important, than the talking. So number three is thanksgiving or giving of thanks. The act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. An expression of thanks, especially to God, a public celebration and acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. It's no coincidence that Jesus, when he's given the model of prayer, does anybody know what the model of prayer is? Our Father, correct. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's praise. He wants us to enter with praise. So for me, everything that I start my prayers with, it's about praise to God. It's about thanksgiving for the things that he's done and thanksgiving for the things that I know that he's going to do in my life. I might not have seen them yet, but I'm going to enter his courts with thanksgiving prayer. I'm going to enter his courts. And he says he'll give us the desires of our heart. But we have to give him that thanksgiving and that praise. And sometimes it's not easy, is it? Sometimes it's hard to go to God with thanksgiving and praise. When we're praying and we're praying, as Mark was saying earlier, and we're not seeing the answer to those prayers that we're praying. But if we continue to have what he said, that thanksgiving and that sureness that God's going to do these things, that moves the hand of God. It's important. So Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. This form of prayer is vitally important, and yet it can be overlooked and forgotten in our conversations with God. Once again, we can go right into the gimme, gimme, gimme sometimes. And we skip right past the, you know what, God? Thank you. Thank you for all the things that you've done for me in my life. Thank you for where I am today. Because I know where I was, God. Thank you. Praise you, God. It's important to cultivate a thankful heart and to express daily gratefulness and thankfulness to God for all he has done. And I highlighted this because this is just so important. Thanking God gets our eyes off of what has not happened or what is not working and onto all of his goodness and faithfulness that we have already seen and experienced. Such a vital component of prayer. I like to go to God with thanksgiving and praise. That's the way I like to start talking to my God. It's important. All right, number four, and I'm going to try to run through this. The last one is intercession. And Mark touched on it earlier, and this is such an important type of prayer. Intercession is an interposing or pleading on behalf of another person. A prayer to God on behalf of another. Such an important prayer. When I was first saved and I didn't know how to pray at all, and I was doing the whole like 30-second prayer and then trailing way off and then trying to work my way back. And I asked God one day, I was like, what in the world is prayer all about? Just tell me. And he was so clear. He said that prayer is a tool. Yes, it's a means of conversation. It's a means to develop a relationship, but it's also a tool for the believer to teach us to get away from all the things that we want and we're always asking for, and to get in the mind of helping and asking and pleading for other people. It's about humility. And so intercession is very much that. It's spending time going to God, not for the things that we may need in our lives, and those are important things because we all have needs. but it's going to God on behalf of somebody else. That's powerful. Powerful. Isaiah 59:16 says, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. That's scary. Ezekiel 22:30. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. I think about myself. If there was nobody standing in the gap for me, what might have happened to me? But I know there were people praying for me, and I know I'm standing here today talking to you because there were people praying on my behalf. There were people interceding on my behalf. There were people standing in the gap. And that's what got me here today. It wasn't even my first initial choices that I made to decide to not be the knucklehead that I was. It was somebody standing in the gap saying, you know what? I know what he can become because I know what God said about him. There was somebody interceding on my behalf. And each one of you sitting here, it's so important to get out of ourselves some days and just pray for other people to stand in the gap. And it says here, if nobody's there, what will happen? That's a scary thought. Romans 8:34 says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who better to intercede for us than Jesus himself? Amen. That's unbelievable. That's such a cool scripture. Who better to intercede for you than Jesus himself? He's next to the Father, whispering in his ear, telling him about you. That's so good. So intercession intercepts the plans of the enemy, and we've already talked about the enemy. How important is that? Our prayers mean something. They mean something to God, but they mean something to somebody else who is lost and they're hurting. It intercepts the plans of the enemy. There's that battle that we've talked about. Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. God's giving is inseparably connected with our asking. Only by intercession prayer can that power be brought down from heaven, which will enable the church to conquer the world. That's such a cool quote, and that's from Andrew Murray. And I found another quote by Dr. Gregory Boyd today, and I want to read it, and I'll finish up with this. It says, it's not that God needs our petitions to be informed or empowered. He's God. He doesn't need our petitions to be informed or empowered or to do anything. But because a loving relationship with him is his highest agenda for us, he constructs the order of things such that a loving relationship with him will be facilitated. And thus, he ordains that some things will only be done through prayer. What an awesome quote. So to me, in other words, it means because God's ultimate desire is a relationship with me, and because prayer is the means that he created to have that relationship, then he may determine that some things will only come to pass through our prayer. And that hit me so hard today. And when I read that there are some things that we just say, why would I pray for that? God's will is God's will. No. There are some things that maybe only your prayer will cause to come to pass, because that's what God set up. That's what God designed, to become closer to him and then in turn become closer to other people. We're going to finish tonight with a little more group work. And it is, what time are we living in? 8:02. I'm going to get you out of here almost on time. I promise y'all. I was working. I was sprinting toward the end. So we're going to finish up with some group work. You'll have a chart in front of you. So using the chart below, list examples of times you prayed in each specific way and the result of those prayers. Then share one of those experiences with your group. We said you're going to have to get up close and personal and grow track too. Let the stretching begin, right? But be honest. Transparency is one of the greatest things that you can ever develop as it pertains to not only your life as a Christian, but your life in general. So as it pertains to supplication, prayer, thanksgiving, intercession, be honest with yourself and then be honest with your table. So we're going to put on some music. We're going to give you about 5 or so minutes. And then my lovely wife is going to come up and close it out. Thank you all very much.
All right, guys, for the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and wrap up so you can get your kids, so we can get our kids. I'm sure the nursery's like, please get your kids. I'll trade you. My four for your two. Okay, so just to kind of wrap up, this week your homework is actually going to be kind of like the same thing you just did for your group work. So if you'll actually flip to the back of your manual on page 75. Page 75. This is the back of your manual is your resource guide. So anything? So sorry. 61 in the students. My bad. Sorry. Page 61 in your manuals. That was the first test. You all failed. Okay, so the back of your guide is your resource book. So everything that you're going to need for the class, as far as homework, we'll be back here. But your homework this week, there's two things. The first one is you're going to kind of do the same thing. This week, we want you to pray in each way. We want to write you to write down your prayer and then write down the response or the result of your prayer. And here's the thing, guys. Sometimes, like I know from me personally, intercessory prayer, like there are things that I'm still praying for, that I have been praying for, or people I've been praying for years. And don't get discouraged if there's not an answer this week, because God is still moving. He sees so much more than we see. He's working behind the scenes. We see a very microscopic view. So don't be discouraged. Continue to press in. Don't ever write anyone off as done, as too far gone. Because I love you, baby. But if God can save my husband, he can save anyone. Like, no one's too far gone. And then the second part of your homework is going to be, we have a reading plan, and I'm not sure what page it is in your book, but in mine, it's the last one. So week one, we'll start with John 1, and there will be 5 days. We're not asking you to commit to 7, but we are asking you to commit 5 days of reading your Bible. So you'll read John 1 through 5. And then we're going to call you to the front and make you say everything that you... No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. So next week, though, guys, one thing that Grow 2 is very different than Grow 1 is we're really going to be digging into your... I mean, flipping from scripture to scripture. So we really encourage you to bring your Bible. Yes, it's the same Bible that's on your iPad, on your phone, but we really encourage you to bring your Bible so we can dig into it. We can study it. We can read it. There's just something different about having it in your hand and flipping and highlighting and writing. So especially for next week, you're going to want to bring your Bible. Okay? Let me make sure. Okay. And then just one more housekeeping item. You can only miss 3 classes and then you cannot go on. So we really encourage you to make it a point to be at every single one. Every week builds upon the last week. So if you miss next week, you might be a little confused on week 3. So just make it... every attempt to be here. We do record it and put it online, but there's just something about being at your table. Okay? I'm going to pray for you guys, and then we're going to be dismissed. Jesus, I just thank you for the students in this class today, God. I pray that you would just continue to stir their heart, continue to move in their lives, God. Reveal to them the areas that maybe they're struggling in their prayer life. Maybe they're not hitting the mark, God. I just pray that you would show them that, Lord, in such a loving and kind way that, God, just how you are, Lord, I pray that you would show up and that you would help guide them and navigate them through their prayer life if they're struggling. God, I pray that people in this room that maybe they have the most amazing prayer life, God, I pray that you would elevate them to the next level, Lord. I pray that the people that are struggling to pray, God, that they would break through those walls, God, that they would know that you are amazing and you are worth talking to and listening to, God. I thank you so much for the hearts that are open in here, God. And I pray blessings on them this week. I pray that they will have such a harvest this week, God, that they will feel your joy and your peace and your presence throughout all of their days, God. We love you so much. We praise you. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.